Take your Bibles this morning to Isaiah chapter number 12. Then I am going to read for you another verse, but you stay right there. In February, we listened to the verse in Isaiah chapter 50 that God said, Lord, give me the tongue of the learned that I may know how to answer a word in season to him that is weary, and how important it is to be attentive to God each day. And he says, you waketh mine ear morning by morning and have a word from God to be able to help somebody along the way. And then the next Sunday, we looked out of Isaiah chapter 50, and the Bible said, who's that man that fears the Lord and obeys the servant of the Lord, the preaching of the gospel, but yet he walks in darkness? He said, who's that man? He said, let him stay the course. Amen. Stay upon his God. And then this morning, well, last Sunday we were supposed to preach this, and this is what we're going to preach this morning. But I believe we're living in a day whenever many people get weary. And I think some of it is of our own doing. I think a lot of it is. The Bible says, let us not grow weary in well-doing. But sometimes you do. And just the way it is, and you get weary, and to say it the best way, you just throw your hands up in the air and say, well, what's the use? Well, let me tell you what, it will be worth it all one day. Amen. Amen. And then I'm going to read another verse to you that I had some sermons prepared, and I'm not going to get to preach this one, but I'm going to read you the verse. And it's a warning to the weary. And it's found, I'll just read it to you. The Bible says, whenever Moses was getting ready to leave, he gave commandment to Joshua about Amalek and all of the wickedness that they had done. When the children of Israel were coming up out of Egypt, they attacked the hindermost part of them, the slow walkers, those that were just lagging behind. But here's what the Bible says. How he met thee by the way and smote the hindermost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God. It seems like sometimes the devil is attacks even more when you're weary. Well, ain't nobody cares for you. Ain't nobody cares about you. Remember the psalmist said, no man cared for my soul. That's sometimes what the devil will whisper in your ear. Well, I'll tell you what, the preacher don't care. The deacons don't care. The church don't care. I'll tell you, it's so bad even God don't care. But you just remember, he's a liar. Amen. The devil is a liar, and we don't need to be listening to him. We need to be honoring the Lord and staying faithful to the cause and to the call of God. Amen. And so this morning out of Isaiah chapter 12, I want to read a few verses, and then you'll get the thought. The Bible says in chapter 12, since it's going to be a very long sermon, stand up. Okay? It's going to be a very, very long sermon. We are to be out of here no later than 2:30, but I'll try to cut it short. Some, this is the first time you've been at church in 2 weeks, so I need to catch up on you. All right. Chapter 12, verse 1. In that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Let's read that out loud together, verse 3, and so you can hear you read it, and I'll read it. So together, let's read, begin. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And of course, the sermon this morning, Wells for the Weary. Father, thank you for the day. Bless the preaching of your word. May the Holy Spirit work in our hearts to God's glory. In Jesus we pray. Amen. You can be seated. The setting here is probably a little different than what it would be here in the place that we live. Water is a high commodity in their area in the Middle East where the Jews and the Arabs are at today. Water is not as available. Of course, if you look at any kind of geographical locations or pictures, I guess would be the way to say it, you'll find that there are many desert areas, many dry places. And of course, times haven't changed any at all. And so in order to find water, they depended on two sources. They would either have to depend upon rain, which it would rain from time to time, but there were also many days when it wouldn't rain, or they would have to dig wells. And a well, I was going to bring my bucket. How many can remember, for you young people, all you know is turn the tap. But how many of you can remember going to the well and using the old pump and having to prime the pump? Raise your hand. All right, good, you're showing your age. All right, now let's go back a little bit further. How many of you can remember before you had the pump that you had to take the rope, let it down, whoosh, the bucket, amen? You had to flip the bucket to get it in the, if not, it just sat on the water, and you'd have to let it fill up, and then you'd have to draw it up by hand. Oh, amen. Few there. Praise the Lord. How many can remember way back whenever you had to just jump in the well and get a drink and go on? Amen. You're really old then. So drawing water is probably something that most people today don't know. All right, or even pumping water. I can remember, of course, like I said, whenever you'd pump water, you'd have to keep water out to prime the pump. And I didn't get all that, but I know this. If you didn't have water left over and you dumped it out, somebody got a chewing out for not having water to prime the pump. But I can remember drawing water, thank the Lord. And so this verse has a little bit of understanding to me. But if you've never drawn water, they would dig a well. Water would be obviously at the bottom of the well, and you'd have to take a string, a rope, and let it down there, turn the bucket, get the water, draw it up, and then you would have your water. So it's not as easy as Thomas Hill and turning on the water. Probably a tad bit cheaper after all the work, but it was just the way they did it. Now, water is a necessity to life. Did you know that? You'll die without water. Just go for 6 months without drinking anything and see how long you last. And when you die, we'll put on your tombstone, "We told you so." Amen. But you have to have liquid. It's just the way God made us. Now the Bible says this. In the Bible, in John chapter 4, Jesus is at the Jacob's well. And remember, the woman comes to the well. And Jesus said this, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest ask him, and he would have given thee living water." Well, that sparked an interest in the woman, and she said, "Give me this water." And so Jesus answered and said to her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water," that would be the well, "shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, "Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." And so this woman was there, and of course we kind of know the story there, and the well, and Jesus is using that water to give her who he was, a gospel message and hope for her life. Now, If in this world today, as we live, the only hope that America has or that the world has is this water of life that comes from Jesus Christ. The passage that we read here this morning and that I'm going to preach on is really connected to chapter 11. And chapter 11 is about the coming Messiah. Jesus Christ is coming. In verse 1 of chapter 11 says, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he and shall make a quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of the eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of the ear." And on the Bible goes, foretelling the coming of the Messiah. And so, since the judgment was coming in Isaiah, he was foretelling of judgment. He also gives them hope that after the judgment, there is coming a time of peace for Israel. In that context, he says this: "You can draw water out of the wells of salvation and refresh yourself no matter how dark the future is, no matter how dark the present is. There is something for the child of God to rejoice in." In chapter 12 and verse number 1, it's speaking of God's grace. God's grace. Look at verse 1 just real quickly. "In that day thou shalt say, Lord, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me." So his past state was God was angry. And the Bible says that God is angry at sin. God hates sin. And God is not tolerating sin in his people nor in this world. And Israel is the case. I was reading in Jeremiah in our Bible reading this morning, and Jeremiah was continuously reproving the people for their sin. In fact, he said, if you don't repent, it is going to get so bad that you'll be eating your children. And they said, never happened, but it happened. And they just would not listen to God. And God sold them into bondage. But he says, God has turned. This is a future tense. He said, God has turned his anger. And now, he said, thine anger is turned away. And speaking of God's grace, the Bible tells us that if it clearly and with clear understanding, that if we were to go through the wrath of God, none of us would last. The Bible says, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And so God's grace of his past is he was under the condemnation of God. The present is he's gotten grace and God has turned his anger away. And not only that, but God has brought comfort to his heart. He has brought help to his heart. And listen today, God does not want to leave anybody out to themselves, but is always full of grace and mercy to mankind. Then in verse 2, we find praise for God's salvation. He says in verse 2, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation." Notice how personal he makes it. He said, God is my salvation. In this room are sitting possibly two groups of people. I heard a story, and I should have looked it up. Whenever the Titanic sailed, many of you were not born, but many of you have heard the story or read it in history or seen the movie about the Titanic. And whenever the Titanic sailed, set sail from the England area over there on Europe's side over to the America's side, there was all kinds of people on it. There were the rich people, the wealthy people. There were cooks, there were the poor people on the bottom, there were middle class people, there were all kinds of people on the Titanic. They had them labeled in different kinds. There was a captain, there was different crewmen on the ship and all such like things. Whenever the Titanic sunk, about an hour and a half, I think it was, after it sunk, there was two groups of people on the Titanic. In New York, saved, lost. And no matter what your standing is in society, when you die, you will fall under one of two categories: saved or lost. Isaiah says, God is my salvation. And if you're saved, it'll be because God saved you. And you let him save you. He said, God is my salvation. He said here, he said, God is my strength. Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. What a blessing it is today, ladies and gentlemen, to know that we have strength. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He said, God is my song. In the midst of all the trouble they were going through, God was still his song. The Bible says he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, and praise, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and shall fear, and shall trust in the Lord. We're living in a day, ladies and gentlemen, when so many people have lost their song. They lost it in church. They sit here in church and they never, with folded arms or hands by their side or sitting in the pew, and they never whistle a tune for God. Boy, you need to remember where God brought you from. Out of that horrible pit. And he says, God is my salvation. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Not only do we need to be saved from sin, the power of sin, the penalty of sin, but listen, ladies and gentlemen, we need to be saved from the power that sin even has in our lives today. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Notice in verse 2, he says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. You know, sometimes we have this problem called fear. It overwhelms us whenever we don't know what's going on. It's talking about being weary. Talking about Isaiah chapter 50, whenever he says you're doing everything right, but you're still walking in darkness. You don't know what's going on. Well, listen, God has the answer for that. Then in verse 3, we have the refreshing from God. We have a time whenever the traveler is going from one place to the other in the Middle East, and he would take a water bottle, something that would have water in it. And they didn't have anything much more than water when they would travel that would keep. And so they would fill up their canteen or their whatever it was they could have with water, and they would set out on their journey. But you know, like all of us, especially if you had kids, kids drink all the time. Amen? And so it wouldn't be long before the water would be spent. The sun would still be coming down, and the heat would make you thirsty. And you would travel over those long, dusty roads and make it, and all of a sudden there comes the appearance of the well. Maybe somebody had dug the well, and most of the wells were public use. Not all of them were, but many of them were. And so you would come to this well, and there with joy you would rejoice and be excited. The fact that you had been thirsty, your camels were thirsty, your family was thirsty, and here you came across the well where you could draw water out of and dip the bucket in there and draw water out, and there would be a refreshing to your soul. I do want to make just a couple remarks about this and then preach to you on some wells of salvation. I do want to say this, most importantly, you must have the living water inside of you before you can draw it out. That means you must be saved first. Young people, old people, you must be saved. Jesus said, I am the living water. And if I'm in you, there'll be living water coming up out of you. Living water. Maybe sitting here today, your life has taken you in all kinds of areas of life, but you've never had that drink of water. Like that woman at the well who heard Jesus and who said, ever give me this water. I don't ever want to come back to this water. I want that living water. And today, to get to heaven, you must have that living water inside of you. Y'all agree to that? We must have the living water inside of us. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Jeremiah said this. Well, let me stop here a minute. The living water inside of you always flows. It's there. You'll always have eternal life. And to be saved is real easy. It's real simple to understand. You have to acknowledge that you've never been saved, that you're a sinner, and that Jesus Christ, or have faith or belief that Jesus Christ is the only one who can save you. Amen. And call upon Him for that salvation. The second thing is this. Not only do you need to be saved, but the second thing is this. Jeremiah had preached to the children of Israel about two things, and this is to you that have been saved. And I would suspect that probably, knowing my heart and knowing your heart, that probably somebody here today is probably in this condition. Jeremiah said this, "For my people have committed two evils." Two of them. Number one, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. They have just left the fountain of living waters. And they have done this. The second evil is this. They have hewed them cisterns. Broken cisterns that can't hold water. How many had a cistern when they were, not a sister, a cistern. We had a cistern whenever I not only got to have the privilege of drawing water out of the well, we had a cistern in one of the places we lived at the old Comer House place. I suppose it's still there. A cistern is a man-made holding for water. You'd pour concrete along the sides and concrete on the bottom and put rock in it, a little pea gravel in there, and then you would haul water from town and dump it in there. And the amazing thing was the only water it held is what you put in. And God says, two evils my people have committed. Number one, they have forsaken the fountain of living waters. At my present house that my mom lives in, not far from her house, we have a well. And that well never runs dry. It never runs dry. Never has run dry. I'm 54. We've lived there since I've been 10. So for 44 years, that well has never run dry. Now, you can't drink the water. It's hard water. But the water, it's always there. Now, the cows drink it. The dogs drink it. And if you get really thirsty, you can drink it. I've drank it before. It has a real hard taste to it. So he said the two evils you've done is the well that feeds itself out of the earth gives you water freely. But some of you that are my people have forsaken the fountain of living waters, and you have hewn out your own wells, cisterns. And you're making your own joys and your own life and your own way. And God said, I ain't happy with it. Now I want to make a couple of remarks here. You don't need to dig another well. The well that Jesus has is good enough for everybody. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, we're living in a time whenever a lot of people are trying to dig another well. Trying to dig another well to get water of life. And there isn't any other way for you to have eternal life except through Jesus Christ. So let's not try to dig another well. There's a lot that are deserting the wells that have been dug. They're deserting the wells. Well, those wells, you know, they used to work for an old generation. I was reading a little commentary a minute ago. I'd always heard about a man named Lynn G. Brognan. And I think I've told you a little bit of his testimony. But I kind of got interested in early this morning. And you know, the great church that he made is now some kind of a honky-tonk hall. And we don't need to dig new wells, and we don't need to desert the wells that have already been dug. I'll tell you something we don't need to disown. We got preachers and pastors and churches that are disowning the wells that have been established for years for new wells. And they're all across Moberly and Missouri and America and the world today. We're disowning the wells that God has given to us for some different wells. The children of Israel, whenever Elisha was there, they said, "The water, there's plenty of water, but it's bitter. It brings death. And those wells that we're disowning or claiming instead of the ones that God has given us from generation to generation are full of bitter water, and they're bringing death to millions of people, and they're coming in church form. I'm telling you, there's only one living water, and that's Jesus Christ. So let's not dig another well. Say, so, preacher, you know what? I really don't like the way that well looks. And you know that well of fundamentalism, that well of being a conservative, that well of being a Baptist, that well of this. I'm going to dig another well. Get my own water. Let it bring death. We don't need to disown. Dig another one. I'll tell you what we need to do. We need to redig some of the wells. Remember Isaac, whenever he was traveling after Abraham died, the Bible says he dug the wells that his father had dug. We just need to clean out some of the wells that have been cluttered up with the world and neglect by the church. Need to clean out some of those wells that have been filled in by the world and the filth of the world. We need to get the water flowing again out of those wells. You say, preacher, I'm kind of weary in my Christian life. Well, the Bible says, come over to the well and with joy draw out of it. You know, a lot of Christians today that get weary, as I said, some of it's of their own making. They get away from God, they get sour on things, and they just get discouraged, and they discourage themselves. You know, sometimes I am my worst enemy. I can surely do more criticism to myself than I can anybody else. I can bring myself down quicker, and you're just the same. Well, nobody does as much as me. Nobody cares about me. Nobody blah, blah, blah. It's all about me. And you know, you just have to realize that when you get that weary, when you get that state, you need to get out and you need to get back to the well. You need to get back to the water and get you a drink and get revived. Get excited about the things of God. So I thought maybe this morning, for the next few minutes, I'd preach to you about wells for the weary. Wells for the weary. Say, well, what are some of these wells that we ought to have in our lives? And everybody, listen, when you get saved, you get opened up to the Bible says, the water of life, rivers of water springing up out of you. Rivers of water. Some wells that we ought to have. Number one, how about the well of peace? Well, I tell you what, we need to get back to the well of peace. Well, I like being at the well of peace, because I've been out there where I've been fretting and worrying and troubled about things. But boy, it sure is good to go back to the well of peace and drink of that peaceful water. I was reading, I think it's in Jeremiah or Ezekiel, he said, if you can't handle it when the waters are still, what's going to happen whenever the raging river comes? I'm telling you today, ladies and gentlemen, we need to get back to the well of peace. Peace with God. Peace with one another. That well of peace. The Bible says this in Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Boy, I tell you what, we got so many Christians that just don't have peace in their hearts. They're worried about everything. They fret over everything that goes on. There is no peace. In fact, the Bible says, there is no peace, saith the Lord, to the wicked. They don't have peace. But man, as a child of God, we've got peace. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you today say, boy, preacher, I remember that day whenever I got peace with God. I'm not ashamed. Come on. You remember when you got peace with... Man, I remember when I got peace with God. Man, I remember that day when the peace of God came in. And boy, what a burden of guilt and shame was lifted. And I've been at the well of peace many times. Boy, I'm glad I've been there. I'll tell you about the well of grace. Man, I've been to the well of grace many times. Grace to do what God's called me to do. Grace to have forgiveness of sin. In fact, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. James chapter 4 and verse 6 says this, He giveth more grace. Well, I remember being there to wells of grace before to be saved, but I've been there many times since to find help in an hour of need. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What is that? That's grace. Grace. Grace in the forgiveness of sin. Grace to walk with God. God, I need grace to make it through this problem that I'm going through, this difficulty of my life, this change of my world. God, I need grace. Grace is the power of God working in you to do what God wants you to do. You need grace. Grace. Well, thank God for that great hymn, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. Well, I'll tell you what, we're living in a day whenever our churches are filled with people that are lacking grace. Grace in our speech. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. And we've got some of the rudest, crudest preachers, pastors, church members that any generation has ever raised. And we gloat in it. Where's our speech with grace? Where's our speech with grace? Where's our grace to one another? Showing grace to somebody. You know why we don't show grace? Because we ain't been to the well in a while. Well, I loved it when I was young, not much now, but when I was young, man, there were things that I just delighted in. One of them things, man, I enjoyed drawing water. I don't know why. I think it was just the challenge of it. Amen? You know, every once in a while in the well, you'd look down there and a critter got in there. How many's ever seen a critter in the well? That makes the water drinking. That makes you really thirsty before you drink that water, amen? You know, now don't you kids do this because you'll die. Okay? Don't anybody under my age do this or you'll die. We used to go fishing a lot when I was younger down to creek. And of course we'd take a soda or something. Shoot, that would last 3 minutes, amen. So we'd get thirsty. So you know what we did? We just found where the water was running. And we'd get down on our hands and knees and we'd just drink that water. Obviously it didn't hurt me. Amen. They must have been a lot of vitamins and stuff in that one. You say, well, you don't know what was in that water. You don't know what's in that water over at that lake either. You say, yeah, but it's clean. Oh, you might be surprised. Man, I've opened the well top before, or the cistern top there, that old Cummer House place, or the well top. Look down there and be an old snake down there. Old mouse. Some kind of a rodent. Then you'd have to work your bucket around to get him. Amen? Get him out and throw him out. And then all of a sudden it was clean and good to eat drink. You never have to worry about dirt being in God's wells. You never have to worry about getting anything bad out of the wells of God, out of the wells of grace. I thought about the wells of peace and the wells of grace. How about the well of assurance? Boy, how many times we need to go back and get to the well of assurance, the assurance of salvation. Are you sure you're on your way to heaven today? If you died right now, are you sure you'd go to heaven? Are you sure? If not, you can have that assurance today if you've been saved. But you said, preacher, I've just got away from God and I need that assurance. Boy, I'm glad God gives assurance. I'm glad God gives assurance of His direction and His leading in your life. And maybe sometimes you just need to get back there and God, I know You've led me here, but it just seems awful dark and awful dreary along the way. And God gives you that assurance of heart, the testimony of the Holy Spirit living inside of you, that you're the child of God. And they that are filled with the Holy Spirit are led of the Spirit. Boy, I'm telling you today, we have people today that don't have the assurance that God's doing anything. Boy, we need back to the well of assurance. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. How about the well of comfort? Boy, have you ever needed God to comfort your heart? Have you ever been to the well of comfort? I like reading over in 2 Corinthians, he says this. He said, who comforts us in all of our tribulation. Who comforts us in all of our tribulation. God is a God of comfort. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Say, man, I want God to comfort me. Well, you'll have to be in trouble to be comforted. I wonder today how many people have gotten angry and bitter at God because they didn't go to the well of comfort, but they went to the bitter waters of this world. I'm telling you, He's a God of comfort. He comforts us when no one else can. He comforts us from the inside. I often tell folks when they lose a loved one, that time prior to the service and that time of the service isn't the hard time. It's when everybody else goes back home and goes to work and you're sitting there all by yourself. That's when it gets hard. Thank God you're never alone. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Lo, I'm with thee always, even to the end of the world, the Bible says. He's the God of comfort. Might as well just go over there to the well, get a little drink of that comfort of God. How about the well of love? Boy, I tell you what, I'm glad God loves me unconditionally. Aren't you? You better be. I mean, God loves you when you aren't as lovable as you think you are. God loves you unconditionally. The Bible says this, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Bible says God always loves us. You say, well, preacher, what about whenever I've forsaken the living waters and I've hewed out my own cistern? Doesn't change God's love for you. In fact, the Bible says He loves us freely. He loves us with everlasting love. For God so loved the world, you. Boy, I tell you, sometimes you just need to go over there and get a good drink of the love of God. Amen. Get over there to well and drink out of those scriptures that tells you how much God loves you. Whenever you just feel so useless and so worthless, and yet God loved you that He gave His only begotten Son. God loves you. Say, preacher, I don't feel very loved. Well, you don't have to feel loved by the world or by anybody else, but you know this, God loves you. And God loves you enough that He gave His Son to die at the cross so that you could be saved. How about the well of forgiveness? Have you been to the well of forgiveness lately? That well of forgiveness is a well that is not much drank from these days. Drinking from. It's not much drunk from out of that well. Most folks don't want to go over there to the well of forgiveness. But I'll tell you what, you can go over there. You can go over at that well and get forgiven of all your sins. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Bible says, whosoever covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall obtain mercy. The Bible says He'll put them as far as the east is from the west. The Bible says He'll put them behind His back and remember them no more. The Bible says He'll put them in the depths of the sea. When was you at forgiveness? When was you there at the well of forgiveness lately? When have you been to the well and got your soul cleaned up? If you've never been saved, let me tell you, that's a good well. That's the well you have to start at. The well of forgiveness. How about the well of eternal life? What a joy it is just to remember eternal life. What a joy it is just to know that this world is not my home. What a joy that it is to know that this thing is not the end. What a joy that it is to know that this world is just a temporal world. Unless you're not saved, then you better live it up. I remember one time going to the jailhouse, and this young boy, they brought him out, and he said his dad was a pastor down in Bunnell at one of the little, his grandpa, I guess it was, and his grandpa was kind of raising him, and he said to me, he said, "Now, Pastor," he said, "before you start," he said, "I have absolutely no interest in anything you're saying." He said, he told me a little bit about his life and this, that, and the other, and he said, "You know, I just have no interest in any of that." I said, "Really?" I said, "Then how come you're out here?" He said, "Well, it's a free hour and I don't have to be in the jail cell." I said, "Oh." I said, "Well, that's a good idea." I said, "All right, what do you like?" He said, "I like drinking, I like drugs, I like all this other stuff." I said, "Okay." Well, I just wrote it all down. He's probably 20. I think he turned 21 in prison. I think that was the literal way that he turned 21. Wasn't just the song. And I said, "Really?" So he's telling me all the junk that he liked. So I just wrote her down. I said, "Anything else?" "No, I think that's it." I said, "Okay." I said, "Now you get out." I think he had another 6 months in there, and then they was going to let him out. I said, "Listen to me, pal. Listen to me. When you get out, drink every ounce of booze you can drink. I said, drink yourself sick. Borrow money, steal money, do whatever you have to do. Drink as much as you can do. I said, just don't stop at beer. I said, you get you some whiskey and some wine. I said, you drink her up." He goes, "Okay." I said, "Drugs." I said, "Man, you get you the best drugs you can get. And I mean every day. You smoke it, you snort it, you shoot it. You do everything that you can." He goes, "Boy, he's getting a... Man, I'm liking this guy, amen." He told me some other things that he wanted to do. And I said, "All right, we covered the list, right?" I said, "Now here's why I want you to do that." I said, "Because when you die and go to hell, pal," I said, "that'd be the last time you ever get any of that. And that's where you're going, and that's where you'll be forever and ever and ever. You're sitting here today, and you don't have time for God, help yourself. You die and go to hell, you better live it up while you're here. This is it for you. This is it for you. This is the best it gets for you, pal." He said, "No." You know, he didn't go away so cocky as he came in. Let me tell you what. There ain't a man that dies and goes to hell that's near as cocky in hell as he here is here on earth. So if you're not saved, this is all you got right here. This is it. This is it. Right here is it. But if you're a Christian, you can draw out of the wells of salvation, of eternal life. You say, "What do you mean, preacher?" Oh, just think about that city. 1,500 miles that way, 1,500 miles that way, 1,500 miles that way. Think about all of the beauties of glory. Think about eternal life. No more sin, no more darkness, no more death, no more separation. Hey, if you're not saved, one day the circle will be broken without you in it. But if you're saved, the circle will never be broken. How about it today, ladies and gentlemen, to think about all the glories of heaven, the water of life, the river of life, the trees that bear the 12 fruits in their seasons, and all those things, and most of all to see Jesus one day, and to a billion years from now never to be any different than you are right now. Boy, what a joy that's going to be. Boy, sometimes you look around this world and listen to all this junk going on and think, "Man, this thing ain't getting any better," but it's getting better. Heaven's getting better. Maybe today you're just down and discouraged and you just need to get you a drink out of the well. Just get up here and get you a bucket and dip down in the well. Get you a cool drink of water. Boy, I'll tell you what, there ain't nothing better than good, chilled water whenever you're thirsty. Been out working, you're hot and sweaty and need something to drink. Get in there and get that cool water out of that glass jug. Amen. Boy, I tell you what, it'll refresh you. And some of God's people today probably need refreshed. You haven't been to the well in a while, and you probably just need to get down here at the well. Now, if you've never been saved, let me tell you about this well. It's free to all who'll come to it to drink. But you got to come two ways. You got to come humbly, and you got to be willing to receive what's in the well at His terms. Yeah. Now, if you're a Christian, you got rights to the well. But if you're not a Christian, you don't have any rights to this well. But if you'll come to it, He's never turned anybody away to give them a drink. And once you get a drink, boy, isn't it good just to sit there and drink and drink and drink and drink. I remember years ago, me and Brother Halford was down south, and I could show you the passage. This old preacher got up. He wasn't an old preacher, but he got up. And he read that scripture over about the bottle and passed the bottle. He said, "Pass me the bottle. I want to drink." And boy, I tell you what, I sure remember rejoicing in the Lord and how good God is to give us a drink when we need it. But you know what? There's Christians that stay away from the well long enough. They don't even know. They can't hardly see it. But it's right here. It's right here at the altars for the Christians right here. You get down here at the altar and get your heart right, you'll get a refreshing drink of water. If you've never been saved, you say, "Preacher, if I died right now, I'd probably die and go to hell." Well, you don't have to. He's got eternal water or eternal life for you if you'll just come. Miss Rachel, are you playing the hymn of invitation? Yep. Okay. Come on up. Miss Rachel's going to play. We're going to have an invitation. Let me explain to you real quick what it is. Since we ain't been in church in a month, maybe y'all forgot. We're going to have an invitation. While I've been preaching, if the Holy Spirit of God has spoken to your hearts and you know I ain't been to this well in a long time, I'm a Christian, but I ain't been this well in a long time, then you need to get down here at the well. If you're here this morning and you've never been saved by the grace of God, you need to get down here at this well right now. Get you a drink that will satisfy your soul forever and ever. Without this water from this well, you cannot go to heaven. You cannot go to heaven without water from this well. You need to come get you a drink of it. Just one drink's all you'll need. And out of that drink will come a river of life out of your body that will spring into eternal life. Let's pray, and then we're going to stand up and ask God to be with us, and then we'll stand together. Miss Rachel will play, and then you can come if you need to. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you, Father, for the privilege it is to preach your word here this morning. Lord, I've done my best to preach what I felt you laid on my heart. God, there may be somebody here weary. God is a Christian, and they just need to get down here and get them a drink at one of these wells or the many other wells that you have. Might be a Christian here like Jeremiah said, they've forsaken the living waters. They've been hewing them out their own well, been drinking out their own water, and it's not satisfying. And it's leaving them empty on the inside. Could he come back? Might be somebody here this morning that's never been saved. Our Father, our prayers, they get saved. Now, Father, would you please bless? And God get glory in all the decisions that's made in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand together, Miss Rachel playing. Stand together, heads bowed, eyes closed. Now maybe today you're